I'm going to share a verse from Ephesians with you. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And I'm going to share a couple of short journal entries from a time in my life when I was waiting to become a mom to a little girl who lived halfway around the world in Ethiopia. And this is my story of immeasurably more. Friday, April 7th, 2006. Fundraiser dinner day. God is amazing. With the donations that came in ahead of time and tonight, God raised $3,000. It was such a party. How fantastic to be able to share our heart for adoption and at the same time raise the funds. The day was so God. $3,000 is the exact amount that we'd had to pay up to that point, and only God could accomplish this, and he receives all the glory and honor. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Sunday, April 15th, Easter. The communion meditation this morning was, "Who are you expecting?" My mind immediately goes to you in Ethiopia, and I'm reminded that though I wait with intense longing for you to be in my arms, I wait with an even greater anticipation for the day that Jesus comes. Lord, fill up my longing for my child with an even greater longing for you. Fill up any longing, any empty places, and any fear of the unknown, and anything that is hard about waiting with you. Fill this place with you. Leave no room for anything else to take your rightful place. Monday, April 17th. Today we're looking at your referral, Mitike. We've waited for this day for so long. Here we go again. I'm crying again. And it's finally here. I can hardly wait for you to be in our arms. Someone else is tucking you in tonight, and I'm totally jealous. It's clear God led us to you. Sunday, May 14th, 2006, Mother's Day. Today is a bittersweet day. Today symbolizes the great paradox of adoption. The sorrow of one mother turns into the greatest joy of another. And to think that my daughter is halfway around the world with no one to call mommy today is beyond my ability to express in words. Mitike is a gift that another mom should not have been asked to give away, but we will treasure her and teach her to honor the mother who gave her the gift of life. Friday, June 9th, still no confirmed travel dates. Yesterday we got a new picture of you. That was a bright light on this journey. You look so much younger compared to your referral picture, and you seem so small and alone, still the same sad eyes, and it intensifies our deep desire to get there as soon as possible. There are a few other kids in the picture with you, and when Josh saw it, he said, "They can't all sleep in my bed." And I smile now when I read that story about Josh so many years ago, but little did I know that at the time God was already preparing my little boy and my family for immeasurably more. And those were some of the thoughts as I waited to travel to Ethiopia. By all human standards, we were ready to go. Our paperwork was in order. Mitike was ready. Her room was decorated. Our flights were scheduled. The money had been raised. But for some unexplainable to us reasons, we got delayed from our original travel group. And it was so disappointing to us at the time. But this is our story of immeasurably more. So God had plans more than we could ask or imagine. We arrived in Ethiopia to meet Mitike on June 23rd, 2006. And that same day, a little four-year-old boy and his two-year-old baby sister arrived at the care center hungry, afraid, and with nobody left to call mommy. And Jeff met those kids, and he took their pictures, and he played ball with them, and he loved on them, and all of that would have been impossible if we had traveled with our original group like we had planned. But God had the circumstances and the timing all worked out. And when we brought Mitike home to America, people would often ask us if we were planning to have more children, because by some people's standards, we already had plenty. And we often told them, "Oh no, full house, there's no more room." But this is a story of immeasurably more, and God's power at work within us. Fast forward to December 2006, and we open an email from our adoption agency, and right away, pictures of that cute little boy and his sister, his baby sister, appear on that computer screen, and we begin to pray for them to find a family, you know, another family, because we're full house. But by February of 2007, God had convicted both Jeff and I that we were really praying for ourselves and that that other family, we were that other family. So by July 2007, we were on the airplane again on our way to Ethiopia, this time to meet Mequonnet and Betty, not just as kids in the orphanage, but this time as their mom and dad. God wouldn't allow us to forget them. So on this Mother's Day, I hug all those beautiful children, and I remember that none of them really are mine, that none of them belong to me. They're all gifts from Jesus. Some born in America, some in Ethiopia, but I also don't forget that there are other moms who cared for some of those precious children. And Mequonnet's being baptized today, and I know his mom is watching from heaven, and I know she can be so proud of the man he's becoming. We never predicted ourselves here with seven kids. Jeff thought we'd have two, maybe three when we got married. I thought we'd have three, maybe four. We didn't realize it was cumulative. All those kids so young and close together in age, and we didn't think we had enough time or money or patience or space to have this many kids. This wasn't in our plans, but it was God's plan all along, and he saw an opportunity to teach us that he is truly able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us.
So a tale of immeasurably more. God can do more than we ask, more than we...
When Pastor Dave asked me to talk about a verse that has meant something to me this year as being a mom, I thought of a couple of verses. The first verse I thought that came to my mind is what I consider my life verse. It is James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. As a mother, I face trials every day, and I need to remember to be joyful when I'm frustrated, disappointed, or upset with my children. When I keep my attitude in the right place, it is a better day for everyone. The kids respond better to me, and I am being the person I want them to remember when they grow up. The second verse I thought of was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This is a song on one of Pastor Dave's CDs. We often listen to it during our school day. All three of the kids love this verse, and I will hear them sing it on their own. I think it is a great verse for guidance. The third verse that came to mind was shared to me by a friend. She read it to me after I told her Natalie was going to need another open heart surgery. The verse is Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. We knew this surgery was a possibility for Natalie. It didn't make it easier for us to accept. How could Natalie, having to suffer through surgery, be perfect and just? How is watching your child be so uncomfortable right? There were many times during the anticipation I wondered why. Why do two parents who love their little girl so much have to watch her go through this again? Why do a younger brother and sister need to see their sister hooked up to a maze of tubes and equipment? Why does an 11-year-old need to ask for peace? Then I would be reminded, his ways are always perfect. Allison accepted the fact that there were going to be things we couldn't do for a while. Nolan explained to friends that he wouldn't be at Winter Blast because his sister could not get sick, and he showed deep concern for her. They trusted without always understanding. Natalie continued to ask for peace and clung to the verse Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. She got overjoyed whenever she found out that someone was praying for her. I got to have a conversation with her when she was having a hard day. When we were done talking, I asked her if she felt better. Her answer, yes, because of Jesus. Then she told me she wished Jesus was alive. I reminded her that he is alive in heaven. She said, I wish I could go to the clouds and touch Jesus' cloak and my scar tissue would go away. I was watching God work in their lives. This brought me joy in my trials. Surgery day came. I watched Natalie have perfect peace, pure joy, and trust beyond understanding. Thank you, Jesus, for being a rock and having perfect ways. We prayed for a miracle of healing. It came through surgery. I witnessed pure joy as my child read cards before surgery, when she finally got to have juice after her surgery. When she got clean PJs after getting sick. And when reading her the emails that people said they were praying for her. And joy again when she got to hear her new heartbeat. I witnessed trust beyond understanding when she was told the doctor or the nurse needed to do something to help her get better. There were no complaints from her during her suffering. One of the only comments that she made about her pain, and I quote, just a little. I witnessed his perfect plan as he used my child to be a testimony for his glory. She brought joy to the people that came to visit and made cards for the nurses and the cooks in the kitchen. I watched two siblings love on their sister and care for her in such a special way. Nolan just wanted to rub her head, and both of them did whatever they could to help her without complaints and with joy. I saw and continue to see two siblings praise Jesus for answers to prayer. I am thankful to serve a God who is a rock, is faithful, who I can trust beyond understanding. I know that as a mom, there will be many more trials and times I need to trust and hang on to that rock. I am thankful that I have these verses to help me through. I am thankful I have three reminders of how to live those verses out. I love you, Natalie, Nolan, and Elsa, and I'm happy to be your mom.
I've managed to cry in two services now today. And I want to preface my remarks by telling you that I will not make you cry, and I'm not a public speaker. I have three children. My girls are 16 and 18. My son is nearly 22. I am not a perfect mother, and my children are not perfect either. We annoy each other at times, and sometimes we don't even like each other. In fact, there was a time in my eldest daughter's life that was very difficult for me. She was about 5, stubborn, self-willed, and I had gotten to a point in my life where I didn't like her very much. After praying about it, I realized the problem wasn't her, it was me. I was thinking about it all wrong. The words I chose to describe her were negative. When I started using more positive, descriptive words, everything changed for me. It wasn't that she was stubborn. She was strong-willed. She wasn't self-willed. She was independent. She was being the person God made her to be. Teenage years are hard, and I believe they're harder now than they were when I was a teenager. There's so much pressure on our teens today from school, their friends, the media, and the world in general. It isn't considered good to be different. You're expected to conform to the standards set by others.
All of my children have had rough patches in their teen years. For my son, it was his entire teenage years. I wanted them to understand that they didn't have to conform to what the people around them expected. So I typed up a scripture verse and taped it to their bathroom mirrors after writing their names in front to personalize it so that the we became you. And this is the verse, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. When I think about what a masterpiece is, I come up with words like unique, one of a kind, unable to be replicated. Each of my children is a masterpiece made from God. He doesn't use an assembly line. Each person is different and special. My children are all different from each other. One daughter is strong-willed, as I mentioned. The other, more compliant. One is ready to leave home and get out into the world. And the other is anxious about leaving the nest. One daughter has the gift of faith and has been growing in Christ for years. The other had to search for the truth before she could make it her own. And my son, he's a whole nother can of beans. He's an adventurer, an experiencer. He is unable or unwilling to learn from the mistakes of others. He has to do it all himself. And much as I'd like to make things easier for him, I can't. He must choose his own way. Each of my children has unique talents, gifts, and personalities. I can see the masterpiece material in them, and I lean on God's word that he will continue to make them anew in Jesus Christ, that they would do the good things God has planned for them.
I'm Becky, and that is my son Charlie. He's 4, and my daughter Emma, she's 2, and my amazing husband Josh, who's hovering by the door in case he has to cry. My verse that I want to share with you today is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And I went through a season in my life where I hated that verse. And I don't think I'm alone in this. For me, it was when I was pregnant, and we were told that there was kind of a 50-50 chance that Emma wasn't going to make it. So we knew there were concerns, and I was worried, you know, anxious even. And I loved the Lord, and I went to his word, and I'd find verses like this that say, "Do not be anxious." And so now I'm worried about Emma, and I'm worried because I open up the Bible, and it tells me that it's wrong to worry, right? See, when Emma was first born, the first miracle was that she was even alive. And the second was that her heart was fine when we were told that it wasn't going to be. But her stomach was still behind her left lung, and she had a cleft palate, and she has a condition called Cornelia de Lange syndrome. It's a rare genetic condition, not unlike Down syndrome, with some extra added medical concerns thrown in. It's not hereditary, it's not preventable. She will always be different. She will always be small. She will learn differently. She's fed through a tube. She may never talk. This last week, we had 6 appointments between therapists and doctors, and she's had 6 surgeries so far in her little life. She will need more surgeries. She will probably never live independently, and we will probably outlive her. But, you know, do not be anxious. So really, like, in my perspective, what do I do with that verse? It's okay, you can put it back up if you want to, but... But what, I mean, I've gotten pretty good at the prayer and petition part. I get lots of practice with petitionary prayer during those hospital times when the alarms start going off and the nurses have to work hard to get Emma to start breathing again. And I'm learning to get better at the with thanksgiving part. See, when I was pregnant, and they told me that I would likely have a special needs child. I gotta tell you, I didn't sign up for this. We were as devastated as you would have been. I've embraced it now. I love her. I wouldn't trade her for the world. But in the beginning, there's absolutely a grieving process as you watch your hopes and dreams for this child sort of seem to fly out the window. Then you catch your breath, and you realize that there's some pretty amazing blessings. Have you ever seen a child smile for the first time, or watched them sit up for the first time? Have you ever seen it happen when there was a distinct possibility that it wasn't gonna happen? It's pretty cool. But you know the real miracle, and the reason that I cling to this passage? It's verse 7. It says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding." Because as much prayer and petition as we bring to the Lord, heart defects, sometimes they resolve themselves and sometimes they don't. I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble, because I know you all prayed for her too, but when she was born, there were no reporters banging on my door to write an amazing news story about the little girl whose hole in her heart closed all by itself. I mean, it did, and praise God, but that's not Emma's big miracle. If they could see the peace in my spirit, and if they could feel God's loving and mighty arms around me during some very hard situations, they could take a picture of that and write a story about that and put it in the papers, I think we would be amazed by how God's fame and glory would spread. And the worry? Well, really, what is worry? Worry is being afraid that something bad might happen, right? And I don't think I'm on theologically shaky ground here when I say that bad things happen. But if I am open to being used by God, and if I can see those things as just cracks through which God's glory is going to shine, and if I can look for that and see that as a good thing, well, then I get a front row seat to the work of the Lord, and I worry less. I was in Target one time doing my grocery shopping, and some of you know this story. There was another family there with four boys, all around 8 or 10 years old, and they were doing their grocery shopping, and as I passed them in the aisle, I heard one boy say to the other three, "Hey, look, that baby's a freak." And then as I turned into the next aisle with Emma and my groceries, I saw that they were taking turns daring each other to come around the grocery aisle and yell things at us. "Hey, your baby's a weirdo." No, I don't remember making the decision to go and talk to this family, which probably means I didn't make that decision. This is definitely a not me, but Christ in me moment, because left to my own devices, I'm pretty sure I would have just, you know, crawled in a hole and cried. But I heard the mom kind of trying to rein the boys in, and, you know, "You're not being very nice." So I walked up to her, and I smiled. And I said, "Excuse me, would your boys like to meet my daughter?" And she nodded. And so I said, "Hi, this is Emma." The boys were stunned and silent, and I'm sure that they thought they were going to get into trouble. And so I said, "I heard you notice that she's a little different." And at that point, they kind of broke the stunned silence and opened up and said, "Why is her face like that?" And he started it. I said, "You're right, she's different." I smiled and I said, "She was born different. But she's sweet and she's wonderful and we love her very much." The ringleader kind of took one more shot at defending himself and said, "Why does she drool so much?" So again, I smiled and I told him that she was born with a hole in the roof of her mouth. And she never learned how to eat or swallow very well, but she loves her big brother, and she smiles, and she loves to be held, and we wouldn't trade her for the world. So here, say hello to Emma. So I picked her up, and at this point, Emma noticed that the dad was wearing reflective sunglasses and a gold chain around his neck. And any of you who spent any amount of time around my daughter know exactly what she did. And those tiny little arms reached across some amazing social barriers. And the dad held Emma and showed her to his boys, who were convinced by this point that they were not going to get into trouble and allowed themselves to admit that at least her toes were cute. The mom smiled and thanked me, and she apologized, and I said, "It's okay, they're kids." And I said, "God bless you," and she said it back. Now that peace and the courage that I felt to do that is from God. Because believe me, I don't have it. The peace I feel when I hand Emma over for yet another surgery, that's my miracle. And the arms of Christ holding me up last week when Emma stopped breathing during a urology procedure, that's the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Because here's how I've learned to look at all of this. Do you remember the blind man in John chapter 9, where Jesus' disciples say, who sinned that this man was born blind? You know, was it his parents who sinned, or was it that he sinned? Jesus says, no one sinned. This happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. And I'm going to go ahead and claim that for Emma too. That these things happen, that the glory of God may be revealed through her. Because no matter what, if Emma never walks or talks, if I am open to the glory of God being displayed through that, then he will show up. And my blessing, if I'm looking for it, is I get to see his amazing hand at work. I get to see God transform my life and my marriage into something really amazing that it wouldn't be otherwise. I get to see God work through Charlie in his own part of the story in remarkably compassionate ways for a 4-year-old boy. I get to see God deliver answer to prayers, and even when his answer is no, I get his peace. And someday I'll get to see why. And I get to see you. I get to see Valley Christian Church at its best, because you are never better than when you're being the hands and feet of Christ. For every kid in Target who's mean to Emma, I know I'm going to come here and hear about one of your daughters who's got a doll at home with a string tied around its waist so that she can feed her baby the same way I feed mine. For every parent at the Children's Museum who steers their kids away from us saying it's not polite to stare, I know I'm going to come here and get to see Emma squeal with delight as someone swings her around. For every rude comment I get from a stranger because I have someone different on my hip, I know I'm going to get love here. I walk through those doors and you all pass her around like you own her, and we love it. Your kids love her, the nursery workers help her make art projects, and the prayer team prays for her. Reminds me of Matthew 26, and I'll close with this. You know where Jesus is saying, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me? Well, Emma's not the least of these. Just ask her. But here's how I read that passage. Jesus said, come. You who are blessed by my Father, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was tube-fed and you learned how to feed me. I looked different and you played with me anyway. I drooled a lot and you didn't mind when you snuggled me. I was in the hospital and you brought meals for my family and you prayed for me. So thank you. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, be with you as well.
As you can see, we're not quite a picture-perfect family. I really don't know how other people get those lovely color-coordinated pictures that I see on all those Christmas cards I get. My husband Bill and I have 5 adult children, 3 by birth and 2 by marriage. Autumn and her husband Caleb live in Indiana. Aaron and his wife Jess live in Roseville. And Adam is in the process of moving to Indiana on Tuesday for a job. So, yes, I'm the mother of adult children, and that still sounds weird to me. It seems like just last week that all 3 of those kids were at the playground, happy, safe, healthy, and they were listening to their mother. Yeah, that's a perfect picture. But our children grow up, they make choices, and they must live with the consequences of their choices, just like we all do. So life isn't always picture perfect. The scripture I'd like to share with you that today is from Lamentations chapter 3, and it's verses 21. And this is actually 22 through 23, but it's 21 through 26 is what I really like. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Jeremiah the prophet is credited with writing this book at a time in Israel's history when the people had made a choice to turn from God and were living with the consequences of that. They were being conquered by Egypt and being exiled there. Life was not picture perfect for the Israelites either. Now I dearly love and enjoy my adult children. I have rejoiced at their acceptance of Christ as their Lord and Savior, at their college graduations and marriages, and I have treasures of many wonderful memories. However, similar to Jeremiah, I have also lamented when my adult children chose to go their own ways instead of waiting for the Lord's direction and guidance. I have lamented the mental health and physical challenges, fears, and financial burdens that they've had to bear. I've also lamented so many of my own words that have been spoken to them either in anger or impatience, without gentleness or love. I have lamented my own impatience at the seeming lack of action on God's part in response to my continuous and quite specific prayers for my children, as if I knew best. I'm still learning how to be a mom and make many mistakes. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. These verses are God's encouragement to me and to all us moms. Although our words and actions might fail, or we become discouraged by our adult children's choices or our seemingly ineffective prayers, God is our faithful Lord, Savior, Comforter, Counselor, Provider, and our hope, new every morning. These verses are also a comfort to me and to all us moms. Our Lord is faithful in all our lives. He is good. We can wait and trust in him. We can have hope, new every morning, no matter what we or our adult children may be facing that day. Our Lord's love for us and our adult children never ceases. He is our portion in salvation. His mercies never come to an end, and he is drawing us and our children closer to him each new day. Now, that's more picture perfect, even if we're not color coordinated.
Thank you, Sherry.